Hey, it is, I cannot tell you how delighted we really are to be here. And we are just so excited for what God is going to do in our midst and how God's going to come to us, including right now. How about you? I'm just excited about that. We are grateful for Kevin and Tammy and their wonderful ministry here and the relationships that you had with them. And we're not them, but that's okay. And that's just kind of good, right? It's going to be all right. So I want to give you a few cues that I think will help us worship better. So I want you just to kind of follow along with me, if you will. Raise your hand like this. Okay, now see, they move. All right? So that means, you know, you can raise your hand when we sing. You can raise your hand. I mean, you do it at ball games for crying out loud. Right? And if it's good enough for the Chiefs, it's good enough for God. All right? Just kind of calling it out there. All right? So, and then here's the other word I want you to practice. Just say this word back to me. Amen.
Amen.
Now, see, that will help me a lot. And if you need to hurry me along, amen faster. All right? That's just want you to kind of know that. All right? So those would be kind of helpful pointers in helping us move along together. Can we do that?
Amen.
All right, see, there we go. All right. So I want to ask you, how many of you have experienced a change in your life in the last, say, year? If you've experienced a change in your life, just kind of see. Yeah, now, some of you didn't remember how to raise your hands. All right, but I know you have all experienced some kind of change or another, because one of them is just, I'm here. Right? We've all, no, you don't have to do that again, but we've all had changes, right? And some of those changes have been pretty big. Some of those changes have not just been, well, I changed the color of my hair. You know, some of those changes haven't been just, well, you know, I changed what I was eating, so I'm a little healthier. Some of those changes have been, I had to say goodbye to my best friend. Some of those changes have been surgeries or doctor diagnosis things. Some of them have been moves. Moves you liked, and some of them you didn't like. But changes have happened, have they not? And some of them have caused us to gulp just a little bit, right? Just to kind of take a look at our life and kind of wonder, was that really that important to me? Kind of wonder, you know, who am I really? Kind of wonder, you know, where am I going? Maybe even you've kind of had a moment of faith crisis when you've kind of said, God, where are you right now? You know, I turned 60 this year. It was not good. It was just not a good experience at all. I'm ready to be 61 already because it can't be worse, you know? But it just caused me to think about a lot of things that I was not really wanting to think about. Any of you relate? And maybe, I like that thought. And maybe some of you are experiencing those changes today. Maybe some of you have said, no, that I've been there and I've gotten through those kind of things. Or maybe some of you are going, well, it hasn't happened yet, but I know there's one coming. Well, wherever it is, the amazing thing about God's word is this. It is a living word. Amen? It is a word that, although it is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, it always speaks to our situations that are changing every day. And it always meets us right where we are if we're willing to meet it there. Right? And so even though we've heard the words before, they sound different because our ears are different. Our experiences are different. Our needs are different. But God's word is still there speaking to us in our current situation. And today, that unchanging word comes to us from the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter. Now, some of you are going, now I know that chapter, and that's the chapter that preachers always preach on at a funeral, and it's not my time yet. And it is a chapter that we use at funerals a lot. But I want us to just think about it this way. It's not, Jesus didn't speak that word to us as followers to only be shared at a funeral. Amen? He spoke that word to us for all times and all situations and all places. And so I want us to hear that word today, and I want it to speak to us as if we're maybe hearing it for the first time, and maybe somebody is hearing it for the first time. And so I'm going to share with you these words as they come from the Message version of the Bible, that we might hear it a little new, that we might hear it a little fresh, that we might hear it the way that Jesus might be speaking the words to us today if he lived right here with us in Harrisonville. It was a part of our everyday conversation. So here's the setting. Jesus is there with the disciples in the upper room. It's the night before he's going to be put to death. They've shared the Passover meal. He's washed their feet, and he's trying to encourage them a little bit. And yet everybody knows that something is coming that nobody wants to face, that nobody wants to happen. And Jesus is telling them, you know, it's going to be okay. But how can it be okay when you've left everything, your family, your friends, your job, everything to follow him, to know that he is your king, your Messiah, your Lord, and you're following him, and you don't know anything else for these last 3 years except him, and he's saying, and I'm going to be out of here. Now that's going to be a little distressing kind of change, wouldn't you think? And so, here's what Jesus says to them. Hear this. Don't let this rattle you. I like that. I mean, I like that phrase, don't you? I mean, we often hear that phrase in other versions of the Bible. We hear it this way. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Right? But hear what Jesus says in the Message version. Don't let this rattle you. And you got to say back to Jesus, what do you mean, don't let this rattle me? You've just turned my world upside down. You've just changed everything the way that I know it. But Jesus is saying, no. I've got some news to share with you. It's going to be tough for you to hear, but don't let it rattle you. But isn't that what changes do? Changes shake us up, do they not? Changes tend to rattle us a little bit. Changes sometimes make us anxious. Changes sometimes even make us angry. Let's just be honest about it, right? I mean, how many of you really don't like change? Yeah, see, some of your hands move more freely on that one. I'll remember that as your pastor. Because we know that changes make us be like Chicken Little, right? We run around yelling, the sky is falling, everything's coming apart, nothing is the same, this is all a mess. And when that all happens, we lose sight of where we're going, we lose sight of who we are, we lose sight of what is happening. We become like Peter, who was walking on water just fine until he took his eyes off Jesus. And then down he went. Right? Oops is right. Changes cause us to lose our focus. They rattle us. But King Jesus says, no. Don't let this rattle you. And then he goes on to say this. You trust God, don't you? Trust me. Now, Denise and I, we have 4 grandchildren. Our oldest one is 5 now, but when he was 4, we were cooking in the kitchen. And his name's Oliver, and Oliver likes to cook, But I've learned never turn your back on him. And I'll tell you more about that later. But he looks at me one day when we were cooking, and he says to me, "Trust me, Papa, trust me." Now, when a four-year-old tells you, "Trust me, Papa," your first instinct is not to trust, right? Your first instinct is to say, "What's up?" Your first instinct is to start looking around some. But he says, "Trust me, Papa, trust me." Now, that's not what King Jesus is asking us to do, though, is it? He's asking us to trust in a whole different way. You know, Denise and I, we had a garage sale before we loaded all our stuff onto the truck. We should have had a bigger sale. But we loaded all the stuff, you know. Anyway, in the garage sale, you meet all kinds of interesting people. Agreed? And this one woman, she comes up, and we had a for sale sign in the yard, even though the house was sold. It was still there. And she says, "Oh, you moving?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "I got transferred for my job." She says, "Oh, what do you do?" Well, you know, sometimes as a pastor, you want to volunteer that, and sometimes you're going, "Eh." And so I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." "Oh," she says. She says, "You know, do you ever get worried or afraid about everything that's going on in the world today?" I said, "Oh, not really." She says, "Well, are you okay with it?" "Well, no, I didn't say that. I just said I don't worry about it. I don't get afraid about it." She says, "Well, how do you do that?" And I said, "Well, I just trust." She says, "Oh, I've never learned to do that." How do you trust? How do you trust like that? I said, "Well, I just trust God for the outcome. I know that God is in control." Now, that's a hard thing for us, is it not? I mean, we all like to be in control a little bit of our space, of our stuff, of our time. But if you're going to trust God, you got to let go of the reins once in a while, right? You have to trust in the things that are really important. Well, as my conversation with her went on, obviously she was a little rattled. You know? How about you? You ever have trouble trusting Jesus for all things? He tells us we can trust him. And how do we know that? Well, author and speaker and TED Talk guru Brené Brown, she says this about trust. She says, "Trust isn't built in grand gestures, but in the small moments that people treat what is important to you with care." Now, hear that again. Trust isn't built in grand gestures, but in the small moments that people treat what is important to you with care. Trust is built. It's built over time and usually one step at a time. You begin to trust someone. You begin to trust someone when they show up when you didn't even ask, right? You begin to trust them when they keep your confidence and they don't tell everybody else your business. You begin to trust someone when they love you even when you're not lovable. Oh, don't look at anybody right now. You begin to trust someone when they forgive you, even when you don't deserve it. You begin to trust someone when they care for you when no one else does. When they give you a second chance. When what is important to you becomes important to them. In those moments, trust is built. One small step at a time. Amen? And isn't that what Jesus had been doing for his disciples for 3 years? He had been letting them know they were important, that they mattered to him, that he loved them when nobody else loved them, that he gave them second chances even whenever they messed up, that he forgave them even when they didn't really deserve the forgiveness, that what was important to them became important to him. Isn't that what Jesus still does for us? That's why we can trust him. He never changes. His love for us, no matter what our situation, no matter how far away we've gone, no matter what we've done, he never changes. Paul said it this way to the Romans in Romans chapter 8. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying, threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I am absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Oh, I can trust a God who loves like that. How about you? I can trust a Savior who leads like that. Now that would be enough, but Jesus isn't done speaking to him. So he says this, he says, there's plenty of room for you in my Father's home. And if that weren't so, would I have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you? And if I'm on my way to get your room ready, I'll come back and get you so you can live where I live. And you already know the road I'm taking. I mean, hear those words. There is room for who? Everyone. Everyone has a place there. And everyone means everyone. People who have messed up, people who aren't messed up. People who are like us and people who aren't like us. Now just look around. Look around right now. There are some people in here you maybe don't like that well. Guess what? God loves them too. That's a good thing, isn't it? You might look at a neighbor this week who shoots off their fireworks about 2 o'clock in the morning and you might not love them so much, but God still does. You know, everyone is welcome. Those who have been a long way off and a long time away from God are welcome. People who have walked with Jesus for a long time and people who have walked with him a short time are welcome. People who stopped walking with him but want to walk with him again, they're welcome. There's room. You know, in the United Methodist Church, we've been having a little argument about how much room there is. Amen. And I'm hearing Jesus say, there's room. There's room for everybody. You don't need to be worried about who's in and who's out. You just need to be worried about this. Love your God, Lord, your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because there's room for everybody. And know this. There is room for everyone means that there's room for you. Because sometimes we feel like we don't deserve it too. But there's room for us. Now that in itself would make a whole nother sermon, but I don't have time. And somebody has set that clock up a little fast. We're going to go by my watch. Jesus, in the scripture continues, Thomas said, Master, we have no idea where you're going. How do you expect us to know the road? And Jesus said, I am the road, also the truth, and also the life. No one gets to the Father apart from me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him. You've even seen him. We've heard those words as the way and the truth and the life, right? Here is what we know from this life that we live. There is nothing worse than being lost. Agreed? When we don't know where we're going, when we don't know where we are, we get even more anxious. We get even more concerned. We get even more rattled. We don't like feeling out of control. Why? Because when you don't know where you are going, that leaves an opening for fear, anxiety, mistrust, and doubt. Some of you were probably even a little fearful and a little anxious about this new pastor coming to your church. I'd like to say you're feeling better now. But you're probably not. You're probably still a little anxious. You're probably still wondering, what's he going to change? What's he going to do? How's it going to come out? And here's what I'm going to tell you. There probably will be some things that you and I talk about and we change them because we never liked them to begin with. There are probably going to be some other things that I changed because I just didn't know any better and didn't even know I was changing it. Right? But here's what we know most. We're on this road following Jesus together. Amen? And when we're in that moment, Jesus is telling us where to look. The disciples, they just wanted Jesus to show them how it was going to be, show them that he would really be with them, show them how it was really going to turn out. And Philip is the brave one. He musters it up and he says, Master, show us the Father. Then we'll be content. You know, all the rest of them were thinking it, just didn't have the courage to say it, right? But Philip says, yeah, just show us. Show us where we're going. Show us how it's going to turn out. Show us what we need to do. Tell us what we should say. Tell us how it's going to be. I mean, haven't you ever done that with God? Just show us. Show me God. And Jesus says, you've been with me all this time, Philip, and you still don't understand? To see me is to see the Father. So how can you ask, where is the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And the words that I speak to you aren't mere words. I don't just make them up on my own. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act. Now, on the one hand, it sounds like Jesus is kind of reprimanding Philip. It sounds like he's kind of saying, I've been with you 3 years and you still don't get it. What's up, man? But on the other hand, I got to admit, I'm kind of like Philip. How about you? Been following Jesus a long time, but I still don't get it always. I still don't always understand everything. So maybe Jesus isn't just speaking to Philip. Maybe he's speaking to us today. And maybe he's saying, you've seen me at work. You've seen me in the lives of my followers. You've seen me when I've healed people. You've seen me when I've transformed lives. You've seen me when I've restored marriages. You've seen me when I've been there and you needed someone to comfort you. You've seen me in the community when things have changed and new lives have come forth from it. You've seen all of this. You've seen how grace transforms people's lives when they experience being forgiven. You've seen me in the beauty of a sunrise, or last night, wasn't it just great to see rain? You know, Jesus is saying, you've heard my words. My words are the words that God wanted me to speak to you. You've heard these words. and you've seen all this, then you've seen the Father. You've seen the one who created you, breathed life into you. And if you want to know where I'm leading you, if you want to know where this road is taking you, just look and see where God is at work. Where you see God at work, that's where I am. Go there. Go where lives are being transformed. Go to where people are being made whole. Go where people are experiencing forgiveness. Friends, that's what makes churches grow. Amen? Now, we know this about food, right? You go to restaurants where people talk about they have the best food, right? I go where there's the best fried chicken, by the way. And I might gauge my restaurants by the desserts they serve, just for the record, all right? But you never go to a restaurant where there are no cars, right? You just don't do it. Guess what? People do that with churches the same way. They go where lives are being transformed, where people are being fed good food, and not just fried chicken, but good food. They go where people's lives are taking shape, where there's hope, where there's joy, where people love each other, where the parking lots are full. So everybody drive your own car next week. Don't come together. Right? But that's what they do, you know? And finally, Jesus says this, and I know you like that word finally. Believe me, I'm in my Father and my Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see, these works. The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things, because I, on my own way to the Father, and giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I am doing, I'll do it. I mean, hear that. He's saying, I will do it in you if you're doing what I'm doing. This isn't Santa Claus, Jesus. This is Jesus who will give you a fullness of his Spirit if you're doing his work. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. And I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I will do it. It's pretty simple, really. Believe me. Trust me. Love me. Follow me. Live in me. Walk with me. Be with me. Repeat. And when the big changes come, the changes that will try to rattle you, and they will come, amen? Because we've done these little things one step at a time, we'll be on the road and not off in the ditch. We won't be rattled. We'll be walking with him and he'll be walking with us. We'll be in him and he'll be in us. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And Jesus said, believe me, I will do it. Would you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for your constant presence in our lives. That no matter where we have come from in this day, no matter what our week has been, no matter where we are right now, with you as we turn to you as our way and truth and life, we come to your table, knowing that all of us are welcomed, all of us are invited, and all of us are fed. So meet with us here now, O God. Reveal yourself to us even more and make yourself known to us. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.